Rodney, welcome into the game. I hope you're doing well.
Hey, Ryan, I am, and I appreciate you having me.
Well, let's talk. It's game week, West Virginia, Alabama. What jumped out to you today from Nick Saban's 20-minute press conference? A little bit lengthy today, but getting a lot of business taken care of early. What was the take-home message from that press conference?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, the most asked question, obviously, the offseason is about the quarterbacks, and we thought this would be the day that when the depth chart was finally released, we would know who would start come Saturday. And no, the depth chart really didn't reveal any clue because both guys bracketed at the top, Jacob Coker and Blake Sims. Well, actually, Blake Sims was listed first, but they were bracketed together. Certainly, that didn't offer a clue, but I thought, you know, Nick Saban offered a hint, at least, as to who might be leading as we head towards the opener this Saturday, when he said that, you know, Blake Sims is more comfortable. He's been in the system longer. The offense has been in a rhythm with him in there. So I think that certainly kind of gave us some sort of an indication which direction, you know, we might be heading at this point anyway. And, you know, I thought it was interesting, too. Not only did he not name a starter, but he kind of really didn't answer the question about playing both quarterbacks, you know, in the first game. He kind of said that that decision had not been made yet.
Is there really an advantage to not letting the quarterback be known to the public as far as who's your starting quarterback? I mean, you find this as an advantage. Nick Saban seems to like to do this quite often, not just quarterback, but several other positions. Is this an advantage for him when he takes on West Virginia?
Well, I mean, he might be looking at it more as an advantage, Jeff. You know, West Virginia's still kind of, you know, in the dark. They have to prepare for both guys, obviously, because there is a little bit of a difference there, you know. But, you know, really, I don't know that it's that big of an advantage. They've been working on this for a while. You know, they've been preparing for what Alabama would do offensively with both these guys. And it's not that it's necessarily that much different because both guys can run and certainly can execute in the offense. But, you know, Sims does probably bring a little bit more likelihood of the running threat. So, but no, I really don't think it's any sort of a major advantage. I just don't think that right now he's ready to announce, you know, the starter.
All right, Rodney, go out on a limb. Who's starting on the first drive? Is it Blake Sims or Jacob Coker?
Yeah, I think it's Blake Sims. I mean, to me, Brian, you know, with the comments he made today, talking about Sims being more comfortable and then talking about, you know, Jacob Coker not really having the knowledge and the understanding of the offense yet. I mean, those comments were pretty clear to me that Blake Sims is the leader at this point.
You know, what would be a perfect scenario for Nick Saban is to go into halftime with a very comfortable lead and then come back out in the second half and see exactly which quarterback leads the offense better. But if that happens, then we're going to know that it was Blake Sims because he led the team down and scored offensive touchdowns. So it's just one of those that we're going to continue to have to battle. Your biggest concern, other than the quarterback play, what's your biggest concern as we are now 5 days away from West Virginia?
Well, it's just me. I mean, and it's just because we, you know, Ryan, we're a little bit out of the loop a little bit because we only watched, 10 minutes of warm-ups at practice, so we really don't know. But, you know, I think it all starts with the offensive line. So, it, you know, watching and seeing how those guys develop, I think that's a really big key, you know, for not only you know, the running game, but certainly for the quarterback to allow him an opportunity to do more things and more freedom. Because if they can run the football, certainly I think it takes a lot of pressure off the quarterback, allows them to do some things in the passing game differently too. So, you know, to me, the offensive line is something that I'm really going to have a keen eye on come Saturday.
You look at the running backs. When you look at 1, 2, and 3, it was 1, T.J. Yeldon, Derrick Henry at number 2, Kenyon Drake at number 3. It's not a typical 1-2-3 punch. You almost think that all three of these players could start most places in the Southeastern Conference. I think you would agree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think most of, you know, those three guys, depending on what Alabama wants to do, you could plug any of the three in there at any point in time as a starter or coming off the bench, whatever it might be. All three of those guys are versatile enough to do everything that Alabama does and, you know, be very, very effective. Alabama wouldn't lose anything with any of the three. Just very fortunate to have, you know, a trio like that, Ryan.
If you look at the defensive side of the ball, what's the weakness? What's the area of concern on the only the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I think if you look at it, obviously there's a lot of unknown about the linebackers, especially inside linebackers. You know, you have no C.J. Mosley. You have Trey DeFreeze, who's still been kind of a little bit gimpy with that knee, though I know he had seven tackles in the last scrimmage, but he's still been a little bit gimpy. A lot of inexperience there with Reggie Ragland, you know, Reuben Foster, Sean Dion Hamilton. Again, I think those guys are very, very talented, but I think there's, you know, some experience issues there, obviously, that lend to questions. You know, also in the secondary, I mean, I know that Coach Saban's been really, really confident or has seemingly been confident with the improvement of Cyrus Jones and Bradley Sylvie at the corners and some of the young guys like Marlon Humphrey and Tony Brown and Maurice Smith and, you know, whenever Eddie Jackson gets back to full speed, that the secondary is going to be better this year. And, you know, we'll have to see. Again, I've said this once before. I think the big thing for the secondary, one of the big keys, is that I think the pass rush is going to be better and going to help them out dramatically in coverage this year.
You know, one of the concerns, and you and I have spoke about this before, Nick Saban really gave a big boost of confidence to J.K. Scott last week of saying he's our punter. And so far, it does look like that he has came in as a freshman and really made an impact. Also, Adam Griffith is able to regain that confidence and strong leg. Special teams, probably not as big of a concern as it was 3 and 4 weeks ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Ryan, that's a great point because, you know, there were people that were about to jump off the bridge in the spring about the place kicking in the punting situation. You know, and I always felt like Adam Griffith had a great leg, had that leg talent that, you know, could make him a special kicker. And, you know, I know he's had a superb ball camp. I mean, he was really excellent in scrimmages and, you know, he's got great distance. He gets the ball up high and quickly. So I think he's got a lot of ability, just a matter of, you know, continuing to gain confidence and get into a groove. And I think Adam Griffith should be okay. I think, you know, kicking off could be another thing. You know, how many years have you waited around here to get a kicker that can get the ball into the end zone? And I think, you know, both of these guys, whether J.K. Scott kicks off or Adam Griffith, both those guys can put the ball through the end zone. Then also, you know, on the punting, J.K. Scott's been really good. The true freshman from Denver, Colorado, has been really good in fall camp. So I think that's relieved a lot of the anxiety that some people had over the punting chores.
Alabama fans, Alabama players, Alabama coaches have had to live with the rumblings of the two losses, Auburn, Oklahoma, to end the season. It's been 240-something days. Break down this West Virginia game. How do you think this one shakes out Saturday afternoon in Atlanta? Is this a whipping or is this a close game? How do you see it from your perspective?
Well, you know, that's the tough thing about a first game, especially when you have some question marks at quarterback. I'm not 100% sure, you know, how the offensive line is going to play in that first game. So it's really difficult to predict. I mean, I think Alabama should win the game. What are they, 27-point favorites, something like that? You know, whether they cover that spread or not, I don't know. But I think the key thing is you just want to really see a solid performance offensively. And I think the defense, there's a lot of high expectations, you know, from this defense, Ryan. I think it's going to be, you know, with all the speed and athletic ability and the defensive people they have up front, I think that it's got a chance to be a really, really good defense as we kind of go along. And I just think Alabama's clearly defensively going to be improved, and I think that should show up on Saturday. And, you know, I don't really have a score prediction yet, but I think Alabama should win, you know, handily enough, I'll put it that way.
At 26, so not that I'm a gambler, but it's one of those that looks like it's free money if you take West Virginia and the points. Because right now, Rodney, I mean, I can look at you in a straight face. I'm not even sure if Alabama can score 26 points.
Well, again, that's just the questions that Ryan, we can't answer right now.
And I'm not trying to be funny, but I mean, it's just one of those that, you know, I look at it and I say, well, I mean, I'm not even sure if Alabama can score 26 points. So, nonetheless, if you're willing to do that and take a chance, you could lose all your money. I quit gambling 20 years ago, decided that I was going to lose more money than I was going to earn. That's why Vegas builds those real nice buildings, and they build it not losing money. They build it winning money.